So Jackie did that psalm reading so well. I'd like to just read another rendition of Psalm 75 to you. It doesn't rhyme, but it is metrical. This is from, without going into too much inside baseball, this is the Revised Grail Psalter, which will be the official English translation of the Psalms chanted in Catholic monasteries all over the world when they do their revision. You know, the Catholic Church is not real speedy about things. So, you know, 10 to 20 years, this will be the translation. So listen now for a word from God. We give praise to you, O God. We give praise, for your name is near. We recount your wonderful deeds. When I establish the appointed time, then I myself will judge with fairness. Though the earth and all who dwell in it may rock, it is I who set firm its pillars. To the boastful I say, do not boast. To the wicked, do not flaunt your strength. Do not flaunt your strength on high. Do not speak with insolent pride. For neither from the east nor from the west, nor from the desert comes honor. For God himself is the judge. One he humbles, another he exalts. For the Lord holds a cup in his hand, full of wine, foaming and spiced. He pours it, they drain it to the dregs. All the wicked on the earth must drain it. As for me, I will rejoice forever and sing psalms to the God of Jacob. I shall break the strength of the wicked, while the strength of the just will be exalted. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Christ Jesus, meek and humble of heart, who endured our life with all its temptations, show us in our daily living how to imitate you in seeking God above all things and in all things, growing in humility with each passing day. You live and reign forever and ever. Amen. So our psalm today, Psalm 75, is about thanksgiving, giving thanks. You can see right away it's about thanksgiving. It's about communal. It's communal thanksgiving. My problem is I don't feel very thankful this morning. I don't know how you feel, probably lots of different ways, but when I woke up, I didn't really feel like it. Didn't really feel like thanksgiving. Reminds me of a story I heard about two voices. And the voice in the back of the house said, I don't want to go to church today. I don't like it. They're not nice. And the voice in the front of the house said, well, there's two reasons you have to go to church today. Why? And the voice in the front of the house said, well, one is we always go to church, whether we feel like it or not. We go to church. Yeah? Why else? Well, the second reason we go to church is because you're the pastor. It's not today that I don't feel like going to church or being with you. It's just, I sort of struggled with the psalm because I just don't feel very thankful or thanksgiving-y today. You know, I'm not there, right? We call that, you could call that subjectivity, right? How I feel, or what I think, right? These are all aspects of subjectivity. We as Protestants are awesome at subjectivity. Just ask us. We'll tell you, right? Hey, how was church today? Well, I liked it. I felt like it went well. It felt good. I really got something out of it. Or, I really agreed with what Mike talked about. Or, I didn't agree. You know, he's off it, but really today he was way off it, right? I didn't agree, right? These are subjective sort of things. These are all things that Karl Barth and his legacy have to deal with on that side of the street in Switzerland. Remember our pictures from a couple weeks ago? Well, on the other side of the street, over closer to Nativity Way, where they have amazing Ferris wheels that come out once a year. I don't know, I gotta get that on my calendar. I'm sure that those bolts are tight down to the ground. Nothing to worry about. Over on that side of the street, Do you think they worry about how people feel or what they think? No. That's objectivity, right? Come to church every Sunday, no matter what. You have to. If you don't, it's a sin. That's objective. You ask them, well, did you get anything out of Mass? Not really. Did you go? Yes, I did. I went. I sat through it. Cheers. Objective, right? That's the objective side of things, right? We actually have an expression that shows that we're sort of against that objective kind of thing. You ever heard someone say, well, it could be he or she, but he's really just going through the motions. Going through the motions. No heart in it. Doesn't believe it. Just going through the motions, right? Well, that's sort of that subjective side, sort of judging that objective side, right? Wouldn't necessarily have to be Protestant, Catholic. Could be anything, right? If your heart's not in it, you don't believe in it anymore. It's just going through the motions. You know, Tara, I counted. She has 5 fingers on each hand, all right? But she's amazing at the piano. She probably didn't, I haven't checked with her, she probably didn't always feel like practicing. Did you always feel like that? No, not always, not always. There was one time in 1983 where she didn't feel like it. It was an autumn day. She did it anyway, right? She just went through the motions, the physical motions. That's what discipline is, right? We do it even when we don't feel like it. So I don't really feel like being thankful today. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to join in with, I need my green book now. Oh my. Join in my green notebook. And I'm going to jump in the stream of this communal thanksgiving, right? You may feel sad, happy, glad, mad. You may agree, you may disagree, whatever's going on with you subjectively, what the Psalms are telling me, I want to share with you, which is I subjectively don't care how you feel subjectively. It doesn't care how we feel. We objectively join in with this, right? We give thanks together, oh God. We give thanks. Your name is near. People tell of your wondrous deeds. I'm really tickled by that. It gives us some distance. This is not, I tell of your wonderful deeds. I had water up to my neck. I could barely breathe. But you lifted me up out of the muck and the mire and set me dry on the rock. Doesn't say that. This has more distance. People. What people? Well, some of them. Who? I don't want to name names. People tell of your wondrous deeds. And there's some distance. We're not talking about how we feel. We're not talking about with what we think, whether we agree or not. We're saying we give thanks to God as God's people. It's what we do, whether we want to or not. It's our move. We're just going through the motions. It's what we do. We give thanks. Your name is near. God is so transcendent. God is so supreme and majestic that God's name alone will do it. Right? Remember from the Old Testament? The people say, look, you, Moses, you go. We don't want to go. We just saw the lightning. We don't need to go. You go. Just say God's name. We don't have to have God be present. Just the name alone will do it. Your name is near. People tell of your wondrous deeds. What deeds are those? 2 deeds in specifics. One we're thinking of the people coming out of Egypt, right? The Exodus, the redemption from slavery out of Egypt. The other, we're thinking of captivity in Babylon, right? Coming out of captivity. And those two, especially in Isaiah, almost like two different films that we put on our overhead projector because they sort of influence each other as we read. Those are the great mighty acts of God, the mighty acts of redemption of God's people. When people are in the break room telling of God's wonderful deeds, these are the deeds they're thinking of. As Christians, getting to eavesdrop on the Psalms, we're going to lay a third layer on top of that. which is the ransom from death, Christ coming out of the grave, right? And we can even put, are you excited? We can put a fourth layer on there, the birth of the church, right? The Holy Spirit's presence at Pentecost. Put that other layer. These are the mighty acts of God. And when we get to talking about our salvation history, when we get to talking about all the wonderful deeds that God has done, not subjectively, God, did you feel like it? We're not doing that. These are the things that objectively God has done as we look over the scope of time, right? These are the acts that the people tell of. These are the acts that begin to shape us as God's people, whether we want to or not, right? Despite how we feel. Now the psalm shifts a little bit. Those first couple verses are just introductory. Now in verse 2, I don't know if you caught this, in verse 2 we have a voice shift. And so now God is speaking. As at the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters with all its inhabitants, it is I who keep its pillars steady. This is God speaking. God speaking as the judge who judges with equity. God who speaks as the stabilizing creative force that undergirds all existence. So just as I mentioned in verse 1, we might think of God as super transcendent, right? God as majestic, removed. God is too scary, right? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the angry God. So we only need God's name. Just whisper God's name. That's all you need. God is so far beyond and above us. But also we have this idea that God is somehow beneath us and around us because God is supporting the very earth on which we walk. So another guy who's black and white and dead, who I didn't show you a couple weeks ago, is Paul Tillich, and he always talked about how God is the ground of being, right? God is like this gravitational force that holds us together and holds us down, keeps us in the right place. If you jump, I'm no scientist, you'll return, right? This is God as the ground of being, this force, this irresistible force that is exerted on all things. That's kind of a cool image to think about, right? That God is the one who preserves and stabilizes our existence. Because without God, we're gone. Then the psalm shifts again. Now we're now it's not us speaking, but it might be the leader, or the priest, you could say, speaking. I say to the boastful, do not boast. To the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with insolent neck. This is sort of a great little passage, because not only can you pun on verse 5, you know, some people are blowing their own horns. Horn, of course, is a symbol for like power or might. People are very, you know, everybody kind of wants to sing that hymn, to me be the glory, great things I have done, so great that I am, that I made up this song. I mean, that's kind of, if you've met people like that, let me tell you about how special I am and all of my accomplishments, right? That's why they put all those plaques in the hallway on the way to the bathroom, just so you might notice. Anyway, edit that part out. This part corresponds to not only do we not feel like praising God or being thankful, but frankly, there's a lot of stuff wrong in the world, right? There's wicked people. There's braggadocious people. There's all sorts of things that are not right. It doesn't take us long for our experience of life to sort of show that it's not the way it should be. It shouldn't be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. You guys ever see that old movie, Grand Canyon? Grand Canyon? Danny Glover, Kevin Klein? Thank you, Steve. Steve and I both saw Grand Canyon. There's a great, and I'll just, look, do you want me to tell you about it, or do you just want to watch it later on? You guys need something to do. You watch Grand Canyon, and then you come to me, and we'll talk about it, and I'll give you this little 2 minutes on Grand Canyon another time. But suffice it to say that things are not the way they ought to be. It shouldn't be like this. And that's what the psalmist highlights. So, just because that little guy nodded his head so cute during the children's time, let me wrap it up. Simply to say that in the face of us not feeling like it because of whatever is going on in our lives, not feeling thankful, in the face of the wicked and the boastful and the injustice that we see, just as far as it takes us to step out of our doorway, right? In the face of those two things, nevertheless, we're called to be thankful in faith, right? It's a faith leap for us to be thankful. We have to put away sometimes our subjectivity, put away how we feel, whether we agree. We put it away and we say, it's our calling, it's our duty and delight always to give thanks to God, right? We do it in faith. Just like the psalmist says in verse 9, even though all this other stuff goes on, but I will rejoice. I will praise you. Not because I feel like it always. I do sometimes. I really do. But other times I just recognize that I come together with all of you. We all gather on this Sunday morning, every Sunday morning. We gather around this table, right? Not because we necessarily want to, I hope we do, but even if you don't, it's okay. Because we go through the motions. And it's not a negative thing to go through the motions and to join in with the whole church, living and dead, and future, through the power of the Spirit, and future, to say it is our duty and delight always and everywhere to give God thanks. Today, tomorrow, forever.